The first reading, which is on the screen as you can see, is Psalm 23, a well-known psalm to us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The second reading is from John's Gospel, and we're reading from in John chapter 10 and verses 22 to 30. Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word to us. And I pray now that you guide my words, that from them we would understand your word for our hearts and our lives today. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to begin by taking you back rather a long way in my life to when I was a student training for ministry. And one of the more challenging assignments that we were set as students was to submit a full text sermon on a Bible passage chosen by the tutor. So the tutor would give us a Bible passage, and we've got to prepare a full sermon, full text, hand it in for him to criticise. Notes would not do. It had to be a complete text. And I remember that I was given a passage from John chapter 10. I don't know whether it was exactly this one. It might have been, you know, one of the others. But I was given one of these shepherd passages from John chapter 10. Wow. I got really carried away. And in this sermon, I waxed lyrical about shepherds and sheep. And I drew attention to the TV programme, One Man and His Dog. I don't think it's on nowadays, but it's before your time, John, but some of us will remember One Man and His Dog, you know. And I used it as an illustration. And I thought I'd written a wonderful, encouraging, warming, upbuilding sermon. Well, when the assignment was returned, the comments began, "Christopher." Now, yes, I am Christopher, but 99% of the time I'm called Chris. I'm only ever called Christopher when I'm in trouble, right? Or it's an official. "Christopher," it began. "You have written most warmly on this subject. However, I need to point out that your sermon is not only warm, it's woolly. You are in danger of making the fourth Sunday of Easter warm and woolly Sunday. Well, there we are. And I was obviously taken aback, but as I read the comments he'd made, I took the point. And I'd like to begin with this warm bit, the encouragement and security in God's love that today's Gospel reading and Psalm 23 do bring us. Because actually, this warm bit is important, because it is true. This passage from John's Gospel contains much to encourage us. Just listen again to verses 27 and 28. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What clearer expression of the Christian hope of eternal life can there be? The Jesus who comes to dwell in close relationship with his people, a relationship in which he knows our name and in which he speaks his voice to us, will be with us. This Jesus will be with us even through death and on into eternal life. We shall not perish. And I proclaim that Easter message, that death will not triumph, with confidence and joy. We were talking about it just before the service, weren't we? You and I. I remember being at a Christian conference one Easter a few years ago, and there was a morning Bible study focus each day on St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8. And Paul is a very faithful interpreter of the life, teaching, death and resurrection of Jesus. And you will remember in Romans chapter 8, these great words, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can proclaim with utter confidence and conviction, like Paul, that nothing and no one can snatch us out of the hand of Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus, the Good Shepherd, declares, and that's what Paul reiterates. And whenever in my ministry I've had the privilege and challenge of preparing for a funeral service, I find myself so often drawn towards those precious, triumphant words of St. Paul. Nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So important that we just grasp that truth. And then, of course, also on the warm side, the positive side, the really significant side, is this whole picture of Jesus being a shepherd and we being sheep. Of course, it's a picture embedded in the Old Testament. And it's found, of course, as we've read in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wonderful picture. Shepherd and sheep rooted in the Old Testament, found especially there in Psalm 23. But it's also found in other places. Now, John, my son-in-law, reminded me of this a couple of weeks ago. It's also found in Ezekiel 34 as an example. Ezekiel is speaking of the people of Israel scattered in exile, and they have been led by false shepherds, self-serving shepherds. And God, through Ezekiel, makes this promise in chapter 34. As shepherds look after their scattered flocks when they are with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. I myself will tend my sheep and make them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. So this Old Testament picture of shepherd and sheep speaks of God's care and compassion and concern and love. And I think in our mind's eye, we can sense through this picture our total security in God's love. If we are lost, he will come looking for us. If we are in danger, he will protect us. And actually, I did used to watch One Man and His Dog. I think my dad used to love it, and I used to watch it with him. It was a fascinating program, revealing all the skills of shepherd in dog handling and gathering sheep. And you felt always that this skilled and trustworthy shepherd was exactly the sort of person you could trust with your life. So this picture of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, reminds us so powerfully of our total security in God. So that's the warm bit. And I think it is really important, no matter what my tutor says. But I do take his point. We mustn't become woolly. For we need to notice the incredible challenge that John chapter 10 makes to those who read and hear it. In using this picture of shepherd and sheep, Jesus is being deliberately and dangerously provocative. It's so dangerous that his listeners accuse him of being insane and then try to stone him to death. Of course, those things are in the verses before and after this passage. Lectionary compilers and even preachers like me miss them out because we don't feel they're very nice. So we tend not to read them on a Sunday. Anyway, here they are now. You're going to get them. I hope you don't mind. Before this passage we've just read, in verses 19 and 20, we get this. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" And then just after this passage, in verse 31, we get, again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. So all this teaching about the shepherd and the sheep is leading many of his hearers to accuse Jesus of madness and even want to kill him. So why is this so provocative? Well, in using this image of shepherd and sheep, Jesus is strongly implying that he is the Messiah, the true King of Israel, promised in the Old Testament. But he will not say it outright, because people have got to make their own decision about him and his claim to lordship over their lives. We have to make our own decisions about Jesus and his lordship. To the religious leaders of Israel, his claim is outrageous, because he is implying that they are the failed and false, sleek and self-serving shepherds of Israel, so roundly condemned by Ezekiel. And his claim to close and loving union with the Father, "I and the Father are one," verse 30, of John chapter 10 is dynamite. He's making, in so many people's eyes then, the blasphemous claim, as near as you can get it without saying it in words of one syllable, that he is God. No wonder they want to stone him. As Jesus said to his disciples at Caesarea Philippi, the challenge to us all is, who do you say I am? And are we ready for the consequences of saying, I am one of the good shepherd's flock? Because choosing to hear and respond to the call of the good shepherd, choosing to identify with the good shepherd, can be a dangerous business and a costly one. For many Christians across the world, faith leads to straightforward persecution. Throughout the season of Lent, I used the Barnabas Fund resource, Praying for the Persecuted Church, and it offered information and prayers about now fewer than 40 nations, 40, where Christians face discrimination of one sort or another. This includes everything from being disowned by your family, to having to meet in secret, to arrest, torture, imprisonment, and even death. It's not easy being a follower of the Good Shepherd. And for us here in the UK, perhaps more subtle things are happening. It was intriguing to watch the recent BBC series Pilgrimage. Did anybody see that? Well, if you can catch it up, I think it was on BBC Two. But a group of seven celebrities of different faiths and backgrounds followed in the footsteps of St. Columba in a journey to significant places in that saint's story in Ireland and then in Scotland. And there was one moment in the first episode when one of the celebrities, Scarlett Moffat, who was the one openly Christian pilgrim, found herself suddenly very emotional and upset when the other pilgrims made fun both of the place that was significant to Christian devotion and of the practices of prayer that were traditionally used there. There was ridicule taking place in the background. It was kind of costly for her to stand up and to say, hang on, can we just take this seriously, please? And then another memory has just come dashing into my mind as I was thinking about this. I remember a St. George's Day parade for Scouts. It was at one of my churches back in Nottingham. There was, I think it was 350 Scouts shoehorned into this church, along with parents and leaders. It happened every year. And of course, I, as the minister, had to give a short talk towards the end, 5 minutes. I remember it was the 100th anniversary of Scouting or something. So I talked about 100 years of Scouting. And then I talked about being a Christian. Tied it in. Now, can I say, the young people listened impeccably. But the parents up in the gallery, the moment I start to talk about Christian things, well, you can see their eyes run. You could see them, you know. Or they even start to chatter to each other or look at something in front of them, shook their heads. And, you know, it's that subtle pressure of ridicule or disparaging comment or disrespect or sidelining that can prove quite wearing to those of us who own the name of Jesus. So when we read a passage like this about Jesus, the good shepherd of the sheep, let's be encouraged and let's feel warmed by it. We have incredibly good news to know and to share about the constant and unfailing love of Jesus for each and every one of us now and on into eternity. And we need to hold that with confidence and allow it to encourage us day by day. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And even in the darkest places of our lives, Jesus Christ is with us, with his love and sustaining power. My sheep listen to my voice, says Jesus. I know them and they follow me. some 50 or more years ago now that I sensed Jesus call my name. I heard the Lord call my name, as they say. I've never regretted it. Never regretted following him. What a privilege. You know, it's life in all its fullness. I'm reminded of that old hymn in Heavenly Love Abiding, where there's this lovely line: wherever he may guide me, no want shall turn me back. My shepherd is beside me, and nothing can I lack. You know, we have in Jesus a Saviour who will never fail us. And when he calls our names to service in whatever way, we just keep following. He always equips. But behind it all, let's not be woolly. Let's not pretend that sometimes the difficult bits are not there. To listen to the Good Shepherd, to listen to his voice, to follow wherever that voice may lead us, is a real challenge. And it may well lead us into difficult places of witness and service. But is it worth it? Yes, it is. The Lord is my shepherd. I will lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We thank God for that truth for our lives. Amen.